is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to the show. We're doing Start or Sit for the AFC home games and a little bonus for you. Monday Night Football, Philadelphia at Chicago. Welcome, everybody. Adam, Heath, Dave, Jamie. And we've got a lot of emails to read at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Guys, which game in this slate, seven AFC home games plus Monday Night Football, are you looking forward to the most?
I'll go first. I'll say Colts at Broncos. Thank you.
Do I have to cue everybody up here?
I will say Falcons at Raiders. Kind of starting to lean towards this might be a bit of a disappointment for people that own the Falcons players.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
You mean because they're outdoors?
They're going outdoors. We actually thought the Raiders' defense was much improved, and I don't know that we can judge them on one game in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So it might turn out the Raiders' defense is better than they look.
Yeah,
the Falcons'
right.
offense is
especially
worse than they look.
Yeah.
I still think Ryan will probably be okay just because of garbage time, but the Raiders are going to win this one.
How healthy are those receivers? By the end of the game, they were both limping.
Yeah, I think they still are.
Matt Ryan, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions in 6 outdoor games last year.
Yeah.
I think it's just road games for him more than anything else.
Browns, Ravens, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on, no votes for Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
Oh, they're playing this weekend?
Yeah.
I guess. Why not? What the heck?
Divisional games are boring.
Browns, Ravens, going to be great.
I want to start out with an email here from Pierre, and he has Luck and the Broncos DST on his team.
Saints.
He's also from a beach in South Carolina, Dave.
South Carolina City Beach?
Yeah.
Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, there you go. Probably. He says, hey, Mason, Kenny, Marcus, and Steve.
Those are South Carolina alumni.
Mason, Kenny, what?
Mason, Kenny, Marcus, and Steve.
Marcus Lattimore.
Spurrier.
Steve. Smith, Johnson, Thomas.
Spurrier.
Mason Crosby.
Spurrier.
All right, whatever.
Barry Mason.
So what do you do if your quarterback and your defense are on your fantasy team and they're facing each other? So, like, should he pick up Carr and start him over Luck this week? Do you guys care? If your defense and your quarterback are facing each other, like, what do you do in that scenario?
I don't particularly care, but if Carr was on the waiver wire and I had Andrew Luck, I would pick up Carr and start him over Luck.
Yep.
Right. But that has nothing to do with the fact that they're both on your fantasy team. It's just you guys like Carr better than Luck this week, right?
The chances are, if you have this concern, you either have a quarterback with a bad matchup or a really crappy team defense.
Well, that's true. But
one of those problems need to
Well, be. You could have, I mean, everybody drafted the Vikings, and you could have Rodgers.
That's true. And I would probably be streaming defenses in that case.
I don't know if I would.
I wouldn't. I'd rather keep the Vikings.
Right.
Like, I would just eat it this week.
And That's the whole thing.
I'd probably do the same thing with Luck and the Broncos, unless there's somebody you cut that you feel comfortable cutting to go pick up Carr, because Carr should have the better game than Luck, in theory.
Hey, on the subject of the Vikings DST, I got another email asking if this fantasy owner should drop them. They have Green Bay, then they're at Carolina, home against the Giants, home against Houston, and then a bye. Do you think, considering Green Bay this week at Carolina and then the Giants, do you think they are worth dropping, you know, this week, the Vikings?
Are they worth dropping for the trouble of streaming? Because you're not getting them back.
Do you like streaming? If you like streaming, then yes, they're worth
dropping. But then you never had the Vikings defense to begin with.
Well, you might have picked
I don't think they were one you drafted to stream.
Right.
I ended up with the Vikings on a few teams, and it was just because we got to the last round of the draft, and I picked the best defense available. It wasn't like I went out and sought out the Vikings.
Right, so, but at the same time, though, if you're looking at it from maybe not this week, but next, I mean, I guess it's probably true because the Patriots were available to so many leagues.
Right.
And they're not that much different.
If you do a good job of streaming and you enjoy doing it, you will most likely get more points out of your defense by streaming than out of the Vikings.
Yes, that's
risky.
Correct. I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wanted to read a few trade emails here before we got into the start or sit for these games. Austin wants to know. Well, first he says, "Hey guys, I love the podcast. Heath, you smell, and Adam, Stranger Things is just okay."
Now, which one of you guys said that I smell?
I have no idea.
He's never been in a room with me. Obviously, one of you tweeted.
Adam never said that.
Maybe you don't smell.
If anybody said it, it's got to be Chris. You guys are separate.
That's true. Probably is Chris.
He would know your scent. Half point.
So what happened yesterday? He blocked you?
It's a stupid. Like, we were having a discussion about somebody had blocked him on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's happened to Chris several times. He's a high volume tweeter. And I said, you know, I
may or may not have blocked him a few times.
There may have been somebody that blocked me at some point, but I've never come to the realization that someone's blocked me. Like, I've never tried to interact and realized I was blocked.
Right.
Well, if I say I've never been blocked, what's the first thing Chris is going to do?
Block you.
Yes.
Well,
that's what happened. But then
you know what? He smells.
Unfortunately.
Wow.
Unfortunately for Chris, he realized that when he blocked me, he lost me as a follower. He's like, well, that's not what I wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. Net negative for Chris. All right. Let's go through these emails here. Half point PPR. Would you trade D'Angelo Williams for John Brown?
I think I'd aim higher than John Brown at this point.
What if you're the Keenan Allen owner?
And I have D'Angelo?
And you're just desperate for receiver depth.
I would aim higher.
I think I would
aim higher.
Okay, so you go through your league. Everybody says no.
Right.
Would you take that trade?
As good as it gets. Maybe.
Yeah, if
I wouldn't be very happy about that.
Because your window of trading D'Angelo is closing fast.
And if he's my third or fourth running back, I definitely would
all
be.
Right.
Assuming yeah. I've done my due diligence and tried to trade him for somebody better.
Right.
But do not underestimate the impact that Williams could have with a great matchup against Cincinnati. We think it's a great matchup, right, with no perfect. And that at Philadelphia next week, he could help you get off to a 3-0 start potentially. That's valuable.
Oh, of course.
You know?
But again, you know, you wait a week. He has the good game. And if you're not playing him, like what if you just drafted really well?
Yeah. Yeah, no, if he's excess for you, sure. This one is from Ford from a little orange-clad town in upstate South Carolina, and he says, "Dear Dabo, Deshaun, and Wayne." So
it's a Clemson thing.
Yeah, I think so. Would you trade Todd Gurley for Jordan Reed and Jeremy Maclin? He's a little worried about Gurley. He's the Keenan Allen owner. Would you trade Gurley for Jordan Reed and Jeremy Maclin?
I don't think it's enough.
The tight end is fine. You got to do much better receiver than that.
Right.
Like if you're getting Jordan Reed and Mike Evans, that's something I consider.
And Mike in New York City, are you high enough on Dwayne Allen that you would deal Rob Gronkowski for a wide receiver?
It better be a darn good wide receiver.
It would be.
So Gronk for AJ Green.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what if it was Gronk for Mike Evans?
Not yet.
Probably not.
I'm not there yet, yeah.
But it's not that far off.
Right.
I've got Gronk and DeAndre Hopkins at the same volume. I'm not even sure if I would roll with that.
I would definitely trade Gronk for DeAndre Hopkins.
I would too.
Well, the point, though, was really more about Dwayne Allen. Do you guys think Dwayne Allen is the guy you're going to feel comfortable starting most weeks?
Yes.
Yep.
He is a red zone target no matter the opponent.
And I thought he played well.
He did.
Aside from just catching the touchdown.
He made the Lions look silly.
All righty.
Something to remember if you've got Delanie Walker.
Injuries, news, and notes. Sammy Watkins will probably play tonight, according to Adam Schefter. We talked about him yesterday, but roughly where is Sammy Watkins in your wide receiver rankings, guys?
Number three receiver.
Yep. 31.
Totally sitting on the fence on this one. Don't want to be bold on him. The game, it looks like he's fine after you go back and you watch the end game against Baltimore, but who knows how it'll be. You know what you know about Thursday nights. It tends to favor running backs over receivers. Sammy's got a very hit-or-miss track record against the Jets. I would try and stay away from him if you can.
I've got him behind DeSean Jackson, Eric Decker, and Jarvis Landry, ahead of John Brown, Diggs, and Moncrief.
And another hit for Sammy Watkins, Cordy Glenn, left tackle for the Bills, will not play. Jamal Charles worked with the scout team. He's at Houston this week. Do you think Jamal Charles is going to play?
No, he is not at Houston this week. He's not going to play.
No, yeah, I don't think he will either.
They're at Houston. Devontae Freeman was limited in practice. What do you make of this? A quad injury.
You got to be cautious starting him this week.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things piling up against him that are not saying good things.
I'll save what I saw on the Falcons running backs room when we talk about the Raiders game today.
Gary Kubiak does expect Demaryius Thomas to play. We'll preview that game. Mike Zimmer not announcing Minnesota's starting quarterback yet, but it looks like it's going to be Sam Bradford Sunday night against the Packers. Jonathan Stewart expected to play despite ankle soreness. Russell Wilson on track to start. Thomas Rawls, you think he's going to get more work? He's going to be the starting running back. Is he going to get 15 carries?
Yes.
Yeah. He's their guy. As long as he's healthy, he's their guy.
Okay. D'Angelo Williams did not
now,
practice.
Don't cut my Kristen Michael yet.
No, and I don't think Rawls is a must start by any stretch of the imagination.
I agree.
I'd start him over Freeman.
I'm not there.
All right.
But you reserve the right to change your mind. Because what if Freeman's banged up so bad?
Right.
You know, you can't help but think that Coleman will take over.
D'Angelo Williams missed practice. We expect him to play, right?
Yeah, he doesn't need to practice.
All right. Arizona claimed former Seattle cornerback Therald Simon off waivers. It's just worth noting because their rookie cornerback Brandon Williams had a rough debut against the Patriots. So just something to look at. And
Jameis Winston's going to be looking at it this
week. Absolutely. Chris Ivory did not practice. They're at San Diego. We don't expect Ivory to play, right?
Correct.
No.
And Ryan Shazier, Pittsburgh's linebacker, a great linebacker, he did not practice. We will preview that game. He has a knee injury.
If he's out, that makes a difference.
It does, yeah.
It really does.
He probably has the biggest impact on Geo, right?
No, I'd say it'd be a similar impact on both.
I thought he did a running backs. They don't have a tight end for him to cover. I thought he did a really nice job in coverage on Reed once Reed tore them up on the first drive.
Mm-hmm.
They put Shazier on him for most of the middle of the game.
Yeah, his coverage was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an excellent player. All right, you expect the following guys. Mohamed Sanu.
Yes.
Julius Thomas.
Yes.
Devontae Parker.
No.
He probably will be active, but I don't know how much he'll play.
Marcus Wheaton.
Yes. He's saying he's going to play, and he's practicing.
Yeah.
Now,
who's going to start him?
Yeah, let's just get something out of the way here, because I this happens like all the time. I say this guy, you say who's going to start him. It's not necessarily about him. It could be about Eli Rogers. Could be about its impact on Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he could be important for other players, not necessarily
Jesse
him.
James.
So just to let everybody know, this is a similar conversation we had yesterday when Adam screamed that Dave told him to sleep off.
He left the F-bomb out.
He also cursed at me via G-chat later.
That was your fault, and you know it.
This sounds like it's an abusive work relationship.
It really is.
I love Adam, though. I really do.
Well, yeah,
I don't want to have a bad relationship with him.
This sounds – you're not helping his case.
Rob Gronkowski going to play?
Yes.
Sure.
I hope so.
Now, I want all of you to win your fantasy leagues, obviously. That's what we're here for. I also want you all to eat well. I want you to enjoy your dinner, eat healthy, eat the best ingredients, and save some money. Blue Apron lets you do all of those things. BlueApron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. Try it now. BlueApron.com/FFT for 3 free meals with free shipping. You get healthy, delicious, creative meals, all for less than $10 per meal, and it gets shipped right to your door. Heath, you like to cook a lot. Check this out. Last night, a guy who I know nothing about cooking, I made a seared chicken dish with caramelized fennel and onions, mashed potatoes, roasted cherry tomatoes, and thyme. Booyah. Pretty good.
That sounds good.
It was excellent. And when are you going to be able to eat something like that? You're not going to go to the grocery store and buy all those ingredients. That's what I love about Blue Apron. You get out of the habit of eating the same old stuff all the time. You get creative. And now I really enjoy cooking. My fiance and I really like cooking together. It's fun. And, of course, the food's great, and that's the most important thing. It all starts with the ingredients, guys. Blue Apron gives you fresh, high-quality ingredients that really make a difference. And you can tell as soon as you start cooking. So get 3 free meals right now. BlueApron.com/FFT. 3 free meals and free shipping. That is a great offer. Why not try it? Then tweet me. Tell me how much you love Blue Apron. I'm getting a lot of those tweets lately. That's BlueApron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So, usually I ask Dave and Jamie for 3 they like and 3 they don't. But I did some math. That adds up to 6 people that they like and 6 they don't. We now have 3 analysts. So I'm going to ask you guys each for 2 that you like and don't. I hope you're following along with my logic there. Dave, why don't you start? 2 you like in the AFC home games.
I'm going to start with Gary Big Play, no catches in week 1, Barnage. And now that we've got Josh McCown back under center for Cleveland, I think he's going to lean on his trusted friend, Gary Barnage, to pick up some easy yardage underneath against Baltimore. I don't think it's a devastating matchup against the Ravens. Barnage did very well against Baltimore in 2 games last year. I believe one of them was with McCown, if not both of them. I'll go check.
The Gary second Barnage one was half with McCown, half with Austin Davis.
I see.
So it'll be like this week.
Hopefully not, man. We need Josh McCown to stay healthy to keep some of these bronze players relevant in fantasy, and Gary is one of them.
I will say this, just to caution Gary Barnage. Eric Weddle's now a member of the Baltimore Ravens secondary. He's very good in coverage. Now, Barnage did have a good game against the Chargers last year, so that should be encouraging. But different safety, different secondary for the Ravens this time around. So it's not going to be as easy for Gary Barnage. And I also think, I just wonder, you look at how good Tyler Eifert was last year, right?
Yeah.
Very good season. Why wasn't he targeted more under Hugh Jackson?
Well, they had better receivers than the Browns do.
Oh, by far. By far.
I think that
goes without saying. But is throwing the ball to Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu more relevant than throwing the ball to Tyler Eifert when you have those? It's a much different mismatch situation when you have that tight end in space.
Where are we on the field? If we're at the 50-yard line, it's more relevant to go to those receivers. But if we're inside the 20, it's Eifert time.
But why?
Why? Because Eifert is a much better target inside the red zone to score.
Sure, but why not?
Points.
Why not use him in the middle of the field too? He's a much better target there too.
It's not explosive.
I think Sanu's more likely to take it to the house from there than Eifert is, right?
That's a good point.
But I mean, you know, third down situations, you can still use your tight end.
I think
Patriots
they
are pretty good at that.
I wonder what his third down targets were.
I just wonder if Hugh Jackson is not necessarily the biggest tight end guy. That's just what I'm saying.
He was very excited about Tyler Eifert when I visited there last summer,
and
I can't help but think that he'll grab onto anybody who's at least a decent football player for his offense right now, and I think Barnage is that.
Totally get that, but why wasn't he that last week too? Or was that just RG3?
I think that's RG3.
Okay.
Running around. Like
I'm just a little bit... it's just curious.
I've got him eighth in my tight end.
Oh, I think you start him this week.
I'll still take Kobe Fleener over him. Fleener had a crappy week one. I'll take Fleener over Barnage.
I'm not saying you don't start Gary Barnage just because of what happened last week and the track record against Baltimore suggests that you start him. I'm just curious over the long haul if it's all of a sudden Josh McCown is back and the fairy dust goes back on Gary Barnage and he's fantastic again like we saw last year. I'm just wondering if it's Hugh, and Hugh is not necessarily the biggest tight end guy. That's all. Just checking it out.
All right. Well, it's worth monitoring. And Barnage was actually one of the few tight ends that did well against Baltimore last year. He had 19 fantasy points and 9 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in 2 games. And all 3 of our analysts have Barnage ranked in the top 8 this week. Dave also likes Blake Bortles. This is kind of an interesting one. I was sort of on the fence with Bortles. So convince me. Tell me why I should start him.
I'm on the fence, too. I basically have 13 quarterbacks in my top 12. I think I decided late last night that I liked both Phillip Rivers and Russell Wilson better than Blake Bortles because I think they've got a better chance to hit over 20 fantasy points. I think Bortles can get to about 20. 2021, to me, it's the same as Russell Wilson. I think that's about what the ceiling is for them this week. It's an easier matchup for Bortles on the road. I think he will have to put points on the board. There's still no Chris Ivory in that backfield. It's going to mean a lot of throwing. Hopefully not as many mistakes. You can talk up Jason Verrett all you want. He is a good corner. He did allow a touchdown to Jeremy Maclin last week. I think Blake Bortles is going to continue to just gun away. He's got the receivers to make plays, the tight end to make plays, and I think he put some numbers on San Diego.
Okay, Bortles or Jameis?
Jameis.
Bortles.
Whoa!
Yeah. it's a bad matchup for Jameis. He's going to come back to earth.
I don't think that happens, but I think he's better than Bortles, but I think Bortles is a good start too.
Okay.
I mean, he did well against San Diego last year. He's faced this defense before.
Mm-hmm.
I think you saw what they did last year, what we saw last week. He's going to lean on Julius Thomas again. He's going to get Allen Robinson going. I don't expect TJ Yeldon to be a dominant rusher, but I think he's going to make a lot of plays in the passing game. This is going to be a Bortles game.
All right. Wait. So Jamie's two that he likes. Number one is TJ Yeldon. You just talked about him.
And I don't think he's going to be a great rusher.
I was going to call you guys out for your ranking of him because he's around like 18th in your rankings. But then I looked at the list and I don't know, maybe it's a good running back week and not such a great quarterback week. I couldn't really think of anybody that was clearly that was ahead of Yeldon that didn't need that shouldn't have been. But look, this is the dream matchup, and Spencer,
this is prove it time. This is prove it time for TJ Yeldon.
I know, but look, Yeldon had a bad game last week, but he didn't have a bad year last year.
1.8 yards per carry is bad.
And they said 92% of his carries came against a light front, not 8 or 9 in the box, but like 2.
Oh, their offensive line was miserable.
Their offensive line continues to be bad.
All right. So tell me about Yeldon, Jamie, and what you expect.
Oh, I expect him to be a total yardage guy. I expect him to run better, first off, because I think it's a better matchup. But, I mean, you saw what Spencer Ware did to them in the passing game last week. Yeldon had 4 for 40-something against this team last year at home. So I think he'll be around 40 yards receiving, around 40 to 50 yards rushing, and I think he scores.
Yeldon or Rawls?
Yeldon.
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 As long as Ivory's out.
Yeldon or Woodhead, PPR?
Woodhead.
Woodhead.
I'm going Yeldon.
All right. Obviously, this is all contingent on Ivory.
It's very close, though. I don't have a problem with Yeldon over Woodhead. They're almost identical.
LeGarrette Blount against Miami is another guy Jamie likes.
I do. I think you see right now Earl Mitchell's out for the Dolphins. He's one of their starting defensive tackles. Mary Williams is in the concussion protocol. Not sure if he's going to play. So that's two starting defensive linemen for them. Blount, I think you get a very similar performance what you got last week, where he's sitting on the fourth quarter. The Patriots sitting on a fourth quarter lead. He's getting carries, and it feels like for the first time in a while we have at least an identification of what the Patriots running backs are.
So here comes a big surprise.
That's right, here comes Brandon Bolden. So you're looking at Blount is going to get the lion's share of carries, which has typically been the case for him when he's been healthy, and James White will work on passing downs. So I think when the Patriots look at it and they see no Mitchell in there, who's a very good player for the Dolphins defensive line, Blunt's going to get 15 to 20 carries again, a chance to score.
Blount or Abdullah?
Blount.
Abdullah.
Dave?
I've got Abdullah one spot ahead of Blount in PPR, and I've got Blount behind Abdullah. No, wait a minute. I've got him ahead of Abdullah in non-PPR.
Yeah, Blount's a big, big difference in standard in PPR, obviously. Would you start Blount over Devontae Freeman?
No.
Yes,
easily.
You know what's great about these rankings is Heath, like Dave and Jamie, think they're kind of creething it. I think on the rankings this week, the big differences I see are just Heath's comings are very different than Dave and Jamie's in a lot of cases.
It's good,
kind of creething it.
I love that it's now turned into a verb.
Well, what are Damie? All right, Heath, the two you like. I don't know if I can get on board with this one, Heath. Dennis Pitta at Cleveland. How much
He's
do
back.
You like him?
He's back. His snap count was up. They're not going to play him that much in the very first week of the season if he's not okay. So I don't have any concerns about Dennis Pitta's health. Maybe he gets hurt again. But again, over one game, injury concerns shrink for me. Cleveland Browns were getting thrashed by Zach Ertz, who had like a rib protruding or something. they're going to have all the red zone opportunities they want. So if you're looking for a tight end that you're just hoping for a touchdown, I think Pitta fits into that category as good as anyone as a streaming option. Listen, I expect the Ravens to score quite a few points against Cleveland. I expect them to move the ball up and down the field. I expect Dennis Pitta to be a big part of that.
But that said, you still have Witten ahead of him, Julius Thomas, Ebron.
Yeah, he's a streaming option, but yeah. He's a guy that if I had an extra roster spot, I would pick him up because he's won big game against the Browns from being considered a top 10 tight end again.
Right. Okay, good point. And you like Emmanuel Sanders to bounce back from a disappointing week one and play well against Indianapolis.
Yeah, I've got Sanders ranked ahead of Demaryius right now. I expect Demaryius Thomas is going to play, but I don't expect he's going to be 100%. Sanders is a guy that kind of always gets a little bit undervalued. So it's not surprising that against a bad defense like this, he's probably still being undervalued.
Sanders or Michael Floyd?
Sanders.
Floyd.
Let's see.
Oh, here we go.
Sanders or Golden Tate?
Sanders.
Yep.
Sanders.
All right. You wouldn't start would you start like a Tajay Sharp or a Will Fuller over Sanders this week?
No chance.
Okay.
I would.
Start Sharp?
Yeah.
But not all right. Tajay. Let's go to two you don't like. Start with Heath. Heath, the two you don't like are on the same team in the same backfield, and you're trying to avoid the Chargers running backs this week.
Listen, snap count and touches do matter, and they both got plenty of touches in a game where they were up by two or three touchdowns early in the third quarter against the Chiefs, but I don't know any way to project their snap count other than to say I think they're both going to play about half the time.
Can I tell you what I think happened last week? Because Melvin Gordon had an amazing first half,
right.
And then right toward the end of the first half is when Keenan Allen got hurt.
Right.
And I think as a knee-jerk reaction, the Chargers put Woodhead on the field more. And the snap, I don't know what the snap counts by half were for these guys, but I know what the touches were. And Melvin Gordon had three carries in the third quarter, three carries in the fourth quarter. That's it. Woodhead had a ton more work. And I wonder if they put Woodhead on the field more as a reaction of Allen getting hurt so that Rivers had an easy target to go to.
And then the other thing is, I think Jacksonville's run defenses, like, I was encouraged. They're better.
They allowed a lot of yards per carry.
Both of these running backs, in my opinion, need to have good passing game production to be good starts this week. I don't know which one it'll be. I would expect it'll be Woodhead. Well, Gordon didn't even catch a pass in week one, but he got 33 last year. So it's just kind of a situation where I don't love the spot they're in. I don't think the Chargers are necessarily going to score a ton of points, and I don't know who's going to play the majority of the snaps. That's too much uncertainty for me.
So give me some guys you would start over them.
Amir Abdullah. Wow. In both formats.
Wow.
Spencer Ware?
Absolutely. Okay. Without a doubt.
Jeremy Langford?
No.
All right.
Wow, you've got Langford below them. Or ahead of them. What did no mean there?
No, I've got Langford below them.
Interesting.
Yes.
I would take Langford ahead of them.
Me too.
I kind of like Langford this week.
Me too.
Yeah.
What don't you like about him, Heath?
It's the same situation. I mean, it worked out really well for him in week one because he scored a touchdown. He's going to get a bunch of volume, but I think he has to score a touchdown to be a good start.
But isn't this a better matchup for him, Philadelphia? Like I've always said,
dramatically better.
I expect Philadelphia should have a good run defense, but they haven't. I mean, they were terrible last year. They were bad against Crowell in week one.
Well, I mean, everybody's going to be bad against Crowell.
Yes. Crowell got lucky. He got a 2-yard touchdown.
Crowell did.
He averaged 5 yards per carry.
Gets work. When he gets work, he's good. Every time he gets 12 carries, he produces on a more consistent basis than not.
But 5 yards per carry surprised me.
Oh, totally.
And that's what Langford's going up against this week. At home on Monday night, prime time. Everybody's watching,
and
unfortunately.
Most snaps of any running back of the week.
Wow.
Most percentage of snaps of their team.
Yes.
Of anybody.
Jamie, who don't you like this week? Like this week?
Every Colt.
Okay.
Not named Vinatieri.
All right, so what does that mean for Dante Moncrief? What does that mean for all of them? Just where are they in your rankings?
They had it. They're both. I think Hilton is 30 or 31, and Moncrief is in the 40s. I just don't trust them against these cornerbacks. These guys are very bad matchups for those guys, including Dorsett too. When you factor in Courtney Roby,
Bradley
Courtney.
I think you look at there's a good track record. Last year they played them at home. Both guys struggled. And last year was actually Hilton's best game against the Broncos in the 3 years that he's faced them, 3 years in a row. The two previous times he's been under 7 fantasy points in both those games. So I don't think you're going to get great performances from those guys. And look, Kelvin Benjamin dwarfed Chris Harris in the end zone. If you take away that play, he still had a very good game, but he's a different type of receiver than what these two guys are. So I think you're going to get very poor performances from them. Now, one of them could score. I don't discount that because they're great receivers, and Andrew Luck's a great quarterback, but I think Luck's going to struggle too. Small sample size, but he played 3 games outdoors last year. He averaged 19 fantasy points in those 3 games outdoors, and they were against very good teams for the most part. Well, no, he was hurt in the Tennessee game, but Tennessee, Buffalo, and Carolina, and those were his 3 worst games last year when he was healthy.
The Colts game in our rankings is probably the most interesting one to me because I have Luck about where you guys have him, and I have Dwayne Allen about where you guys have him, and you guys have Hilton and Moncrief way behind where I have him. I don't think Luck can be a top 10 quarterback if one of Hilton or Moncrief doesn't have a decent game.
He actually got to 25 points last year without any of his receivers scoring.
Right. I was actually going to save this for later on when we get to the game, but
this is
the track record is actually not bad for Andrew Luck, but it's terrible for his receivers.
Yeah,
well,
I don't factor in what happened 2 or 3 years ago between two players and teams probably quite as much.
How about 3 times in the last 2 years with no coordinator changes?
But last year Luck scored 25 fantasy points. That was in Indianapolis. The Broncos allowed 20 fantasy points once, well, more than 20 fantasy points once at home last
year.
And that was Brady. So, you know.
I'm not sitting Andrew Luck.
I would sit in for Winston, Carr, Stafford, and Eli.
Oh yeah, I would. Yeah, you forgot about Eli.
I would sit in for Eli, Carr, and Stafford.
Eli, Stafford, Carr. That's about it.
I don't Carson think it's a great Palmer, week for quarterbacks. To be honest with you.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
I think it's a 5. Yeah.
Would you guys start Eric Decker over the Colts receivers?
Nope.
Yes.
Damien. would you start Stephon Diggs over the Colts receivers?
Nope.
Yes. Yes. I would start Diggs over Moncrief, yes.
Okay, all right.
Not over Hilton.
Dave, you don't like the Bengals running backs against Pittsburgh.
We'll say it's dependent on Ryan Shazier playing because Shazier is a good run stopper. But even if he doesn't play, I think the Steelers have the Bengals number. This is not going to be the high scoring type of affair that you might think it's going to be. They played three times last year. They averaged, Steelers averaged 20.3 points per game and the Bengals had 17.3 points per game. One of those games, actually, I think, is it one or two where A.J. McCarron didn't play? Anybody know off the top of their head?
A.J. McCarron started the last one.
The playoff game.
Yeah.
And the last regular season.
Right. I'm of the belief that these running backs are going to struggle. I think the Steelers have had their number. The track record for Hill since he's been in the league is bad against the Steelers.
One good game, and it was a Week 17 game.
Right. And Gio, I think his rookie year, he scored in both games against Pittsburgh, and since then, he's done bupkis.
Yep.
Like, really, really bad. So, I'm staying away. I think the Steelers' run defense is the best part of their D.
Yep.
Cool. And you don't like Melvin Gordon, but we talked about that, so let's get into the games, guys. And Colts Broncos, yeah, we did a pretty nice preview just now. Andrew Luck, he's top 10, but he's, you know, no higher than 8th in anybody's rankings. And Eli, Stafford, Carr, you could start them over Andrew Luck. You're not starting Frank Gore. I don't think we have to go too far into that one. Dwayne Allen, though, you know, even when the Broncos were great last year on defense, probably best defense in the league, they allowed the 19th most fantasy points to tight ends. So is Dwayne Allen worth starting this week?
Not a slam dunk.
Very borderline.
He doesn't he kind of make the top 12 by default though?
I have him 12th. Yeah. I think that's a very borderline starting.
I'm 11th.
He's 10th for me, but it's almost by default.
Did you rank Jack Doyle?
If you can go get Ebron.
I did.
Where'd you put him?
He's in the 20s. I mean, he's touchdown dependent.
Right. Either he scores or you get like 1 point.
But you see what they're going to do in the red zone. It's the same thing they did 2 years ago when Luck was fantastic. Lean on their tight ends.
Ebron or Allen?
Ebron.
Ebron. That's not close.
Allen or Jesse James?
Allen. That's not close.
Allen, because I think he'll score, but James is going to be better in PPR. They had 20 receptions from their tight ends in 2 games against the Bengals last year.
Yeah, I think Heath Miller had a 100-yard game.
He did, and he had 10 catches in each game. So Jesse James in PPR is going to be very good.
C.J. Anderson, top 3. We love C.J. Anderson this week. And Trevor Siemian, is he a sleeper if you know, you're in a deep league?
2 quarterback league.
He could be a sleeper in 2 QB.
Mm-hmm.
Or super flex.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Virgil Green. You guys do not seem to like Virgil Green. He's outside the top 15 in both standard and PPR. He had 4 catches for 28 yards on 5 targets, but should have caught a touchdown, right, in week 1. So let's talk about that. Indianapolis struggled with Ebron. Why are you so low on Green?
Green's not as good as Ebron, first off. Siemian's not as good as
type of offense.
Siemian's not as good as Stafford. They're not going to throw the ball as much as the Lions did. They're not going to score as many points as the Lions did.
Okay.
Green's not a terrible. I mean, if you're in a situation where you just need to find a tight end to start this week and you're just hoping for a touchdown, he might score one. That's the only way he's worth it.
He'll be better if Demaryius Thomas is out.
By the way, if Demaryius Thomas plays, like, is he an absolute must start?
I don't think he is.
I think he's a number 2 receiver.
I think. Like, the only situation where I'm not starting him is if I had Marvin Jones as my number 3 and I only need to start 2 wide receivers and I'm starting Jones over him, maybe.
I put Sterling Shepard ahead of him.
Although I would start Sanders over him, even if he plays.
I put Sterling Shepard ahead of him just because of the matchup.
You put the third best
just because
Giants
of the matchup?
Sterling Shepard's matchup.
Yeah, but it's not like Demaryius Thomas is a bad one.
Who's got the better quarterback? Who's got the better hip?
Oh, I'm not saying it's a bad call. I'm just saying it's just interesting because you based on matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, listen, Dave, it is a bad call because that should be Victor Cruz that you have ahead of him instead of Sterling Shepard.
You're all in on Cruz this week.
I might start
you're
him.
You're banking on the homecoming.
I've got Cruz in a lot of FanDuel lineups already.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, guys. Let's go to Denver DST. You can still start them. They're top 5. Let's go to Cincinnati at Pittsburgh here. Big Ben. You probably don't have both, but just because we know how much you like Andrew Luck, who do you like better, Ben Roethlisberger or Andrew Luck this week?
Ben.
Dave, Ben?
Nope.
Did he say anything?
I just said nope.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you.
Oh, wow.
I will take Andrew Luck.
What are they, like 9 and 10 for you?
Roethlisberger has three straight against Cincinnati with 15 or fewer points. Bengals secondary is healthy. Pass rush is good.
At Cincinnati or against Cincinnati?
Against Cincinnati.
Yeah. I don't see this defense without Perfect being that great.
Against the pass?
Yeah.
I think Roethlisberger.
Middle of the field is going to eat them up.
Maybe. I bet they're going to bend and not break.
What does that mean for Eli Rogers then? Do you think Eli Rogers can have a good game?
He's okay. I think if you picked him up off waivers in reaction to Keenan Allen going down and you just need a wide receiver to start, then you can go with him.
He's a third receiver in a PPR league.
It does, in my opinion, I'm probably lowering him even more if
Wheaton's back. Because it could take a target or two away, you think?
I think
it takes
more than
Sammy Coates.
I think
Rodgers is fine, whoever the
outside Coates have, what, four or five targets?
Yeah, that's Wheaton.
Who was the touchdown cast to Rodgers? Who got credited for that target?
Oh, it's got to be Coates.
It's got to be Coates. Yeah. I don't know if they ended up doing that, though. They might have credited it to Rodgers.
Or Breland.
Anyway, don't go with Rodgers.
By the way, would you let's go to D'Angelo Williams real quick. He's a top seven running back. Would you start D'Angelo or McCoy tonight?
D'Angelo.
Okay. I want to make sure I haven't ranked this way. I want D'Angelo over LeSean.
Eli Rogers or Dante Moncrief?
Moncrief.
Moncrief standard, Eli PPR.
I've got Moncrief ahead of him.
All righty. Jesse James, I gave you guys the trivia question before the show. Who's the only tight end that caught a touchdown against the Bengals last year? It's Darren Fells. They only gave up one touchdown. They allowed the fourth through his fantasy points. But as Jamie laid out, the Steelers threw for a lot of yards at the tight end position, a lot of receiving.
They were tied for most receptions allowed to tight ends last year, and I think fourth in yards allowed to tight ends. So, again, standard league, Jesse James may not be the best start. PPR league, he's going to be fantastic.
Okay. We're sitting Andy Dalton this week. Heath, you see, different here. Damey have him outside the top 20, but Heath has him 14th, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it's a combination of two conflicting data points. You've got the Joe Goodberry, Andy Dalton versus common opponents, which has been pretty awful. And you've got I don't think the Bengals defense is that great. The Steelers are going to score points and Dalton's going to have to throw. So eventually he's probably going to get points.
Okay. Not an inspiring start, though.
No, I mean, I don't have him ranked as a starter.
Right. Okay. And so I know Heath does not like the Cincinnati, or Dave doesn't like the Cincinnati running backs, right?
Right.
Does anybody feel differently? Does anybody think that Jeremy Hill or Gio is worth a start this week?
I'm not going out of my way to bench them, but I'm not going out of my way to start them. I think they're kind of the borderline guys. It just depends on what your roster looks like. Like, I'd rather start Rashad Jennings, Jonathan Stewart, TJ Yeldon.
I start Rawls over both.
Give me Tevin Coleman over both.
Yeah, then no, not for me.
See, like Dave and Jamie.
Yeah, I'd start Tevin Coleman over both, too.
Really? Dave and Jamie have Arian Foster ahead of Jeremy Hill. I couldn't do that.
No, especially since Foster's got a hamstring issue again.
That's just they have to put him on the injury report for something. Gase talked about yesterday. He's going to miss every Wednesday practice.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's interesting. So yeah, Heath has Hill 21st and Dave and Jamie have Hill in the 30s. And
couldn't
PPR,
they put him on the
Heath has him
22nd. Not injury related?
I don't know. I mean,
why can't they just put him on for age?
I just listened to what Gay said yesterday.
Rest.
They can
put him on for rest. I'm skeptical of Adam Gase's explanation.
Yeah.
All right, question for you here. I've had a lot of them, but here's another one. Do you think A.J. Green, given his amazing history against the Steelers, and Antonio Brown, given his somewhat pedestrian history against the Bengals, do you think A.J. Green is a better start in a daily fantasy format than Antonio Brown?
Sure.
I mean, number one receivers just destroy this team.
Brown is a better play in cash. Green is a better play in tournaments.
Starter sit Brandon LaFell. If you don't like Moncrief and you know some other wide receivers, you don't like T.Y. Hilton, you think Brandon LaFell is a guy that you could replace him with?
Nope.
I can't trust him. No upside.
No chance.
Okay. Steelers DST is 11th for Jamie, but outside the top 12 for Dave and Heath. And Bengals DST is 10th for Heath, but Damey have the Bengals DST outside the top 12. Jacksonville at San Diego. You guys talked a lot about this game already, but what we didn't talk about was that the Jaguars are making a trip to the West Coast. Last year, obviously, the Chargers were making a trip to the East Coast. Therefore, I wonder, does last year's result really mean anything in this game? Like, do you expect a disadvantage for the Jaguars, whereas last year there was a disadvantage for the Chargers? You know what I mean?
It worked out pretty well for the Chargers.
Right.
Yeah, but if you look at the stats that the Jaguars put up, do we take them with a grain of salt? Because this time they actually have to go to the West Coast? Is that a big problem for you guys?
I mean, it like Pete Prisco said, young teams tend to struggle when they make this trip, especially after coming off a loss. So it could be tough for them. But I think offensively, the guys you're expecting to show up, this will be a Bortles game, chasing points. He'll, you know, if he had the second touchdown last week, you wouldn't have been upset with the 21 points that he would have given you instead of the 16 for 15. You're not benching Allen Robinson. Julius Thomas, because of the way tight ends are right now and the way he played last week and the way he played against them last year, mm-hmm. you'll start him. And then TJ Yeldon's just kind of falling into a great situation because we've seen the Chargers run defense be pretty bad, or at least against running backs, and no Chris Ivory. So I don't love Allen Hurns in this game. I think he's the one that loses because you've seen what his numbers have been when Julius Thomas has been healthy and active, and Hurns has been basically what he was last week, about 7 fantasy points. That's not exactly a must-start guy by any stretch.
I kind of like Hurns. I kind of like Hurns a little bit more this week because I do think there's a – and maybe Bortles will just keep throwing to Robinson 15 times, but I almost feel like Robinson's targets have to go down a little bit this week with Verrett on him.
There was a report in Jacksonville that the Jaguars are going to do whatever they can to scheme Robinson away from Verrett. So I think actually Robinson's still going to be 10-plus targets again.
Travis Benjamin. Let's talk about Travis Benjamin here. Jamie, you're the high guy on him. Now, everybody has Benjamin as a number 3 receiver in standard scoring leagues. In PPR, Jamie, you have him 25th. Dave and Heath have Benjamin in the 30s. Talk about that. What do you expect from Travis Benjamin?
High volume of targets. And whatever he does, that we'll see. But I think it's worth buying into as a third receiver this week.
Okay. And how about Tyrell Williams, guys? In what scenario would you be willing to start him?
The one where my choices were Tyrell Williams and Brandon LaFell.
Deeper league, lost Keenan Allen, picked up Tyrell Williams, don't have a lot of other options. Go ahead and take a chance on him. It is worth noting that Phillip Rivers talked him up a lot during a press conference on Wednesday. Every time he was asked about a question about the receivers, he'd mention Tyrell by name. He'd mention 16, that's his number. And I think they're really going to try and count on Tyrell Williams to take some of the pressure off of losing Keenan Allen.
Okay, yeah, and like Heath said, I forgot who you said it with. Oh, Dennis Pitta. You know, if Pitta has a good game, he's a big waiver wire target. If Tyrell Williams has a big game, he's a waiver wire target. So maybe if you just have a roster spot that you don't, you know, that you, to play with, maybe you stash him.
And I would use it on Williams 10 times out of 10 ahead of Pitta. No offense, Pitta fans.
I pity the fool does it.
And I see your note here at the bottom of this game, sit the defenses. I don't know that I expect this to be an absolute shootout where you don't want to play any defenses.
I'm not trusting either of these DSs.
Are they going to give you stats, though? I mean, are they going to do anything for you?
San Diego had 3 sacks in their first game.
They did.
Jacksonville gave up 3 sacks in their first game, and Blake Bortles is going to be throwing at Jason Verrett a lot. I think they're probably going to give you stats.
Okay. Also, is Antonio Gates going to have a good game?
He did last year against them.
I would expect he's going to be a top 10 tight end.
You have to imagine there's going to be more targets for him with Keenan Allen.
All their pass catchers get a boost.
Okay, 5 more games, guys. Atlanta at Oakland. Atlanta, last time they went on the West Coast, they lost 17-16 at San Francisco. That was last year. But you got good games from Julio and from Devontae Freeman. We'll start, though, with Oakland. Derek Carr, we like him. He's number 8 for Jamie. He's 6 for Dave and Heath. We saw what Jameis Winston did. Latavius Murray, you expect a bigger workload. I mean, is he a must-start guy, Latavius Murray?
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. But how about Michael Crabtree? You're obviously starting Amari Cooper. Start or sit Michael Crabtree this week?
Start. Very safe number 3 receiver.
And not even the worst is a number 2.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Especially in a PPR. I don't have it ranked that way, but he's just outside of there.
All right.
Interesting debate that you can have between him and T.Y. Hilton. Knowing that Hilton doesn't have the gleaming upside that he normally does. I don't know if this is going to be a game where the Raiders are going to build a lead in the first half and grind out the clock. They might need Crabtree a little bit.
It's kind of interesting, though, because I feel like the game last week, maybe rightfully so, has changed our opinion on the Falcons, because last year they were the best team in fantasy against wide receivers. They gave up a ton of rushing touchdowns and did not give up a lot of passing touchdowns. Of course, last week, Doug Martin doesn't score. Sims scores a receiving touchdown. Jameis Winston lights them up. And but you know what I mean? Like, if that game never happened, would you still feel good about Crabtree, or are you basing it a lot on last week?
Well, I mean, he's still going to get a high volume of targets. I don't think, you know, I mean, you're counting on Clyde Walford to score a touchdown. That's where he is. And so it's Cooper and Crabtree.
Okay.
Plus, he's going to most likely avoid Trufant.
I'll also say if I had Decker tonight and Crabtree on my bench, I would start Crabtree.
How about Clive Walford? Starter said Clive Walford. Dave, you're the high guy on Walford.
I would use him if you're streaming tight ends. I like that he had an end zone target last week. I like that the Falcons gave up touchdowns to Safarian Jenkins and Brandon Myers. And I think they want to get Walford a little more involved when they're inside the 20.
Yeah, the one thing, though, is you're looking at a quarterback in Jameis that leans on his tight ends. We haven't seen that necessarily from Derek Carr in the 3 years of him being a starter.
Not to the extent that Jameis has, but he has. Michael Rivera's caught some touchdowns.
Yeah, but I mean, Walford and Rivera may have combined for what they threw into the touchdowns to tight ends last week.
I'm uncomfortable with talking about Clive Walford having a good matchup when he just did what he did against the Saints.
But he almost caught a touchdown. He had it in his hands.
He almost caught one in the preseason, too. He's going to almost catch a lot of them. I mean, he's only going to get a handful of targets. He's going to get a couple of red zone targets. You're counting on him to score a touchdown. He's basically Jack Doyle. That's the same type of player that he is. So we haven't seen a lot
from him. No, he's not. He's a better player than Jack Doyle.
He is a better player than him, but fantasy-wise, he's the same type of player. He's not going to get you a 5-for-50-plus type game. That's just not the way that they use him.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they used him more.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and just so I don't argue this every time, Adam, I'm never going to consider he almost caught a touchdown.
I am going to consider that because
I know you are, but that's what I don't argue it every time, so it's just on the record.
You want opportunity, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, if they're going to throw to him in the end zone.
You're counting on him to score. If he doesn't score, you get what you got last week. That's just who he is.
That's a lot of tight ends, though. I mean, you could say that about 20 tight ends.
Of course. But again, if you're talking to me, at least, I'd rather take the chance of the volume of a Jesse James or even a Virgil Green than a Clive Walford. Virgil Green also almost scored last week, except for a great defensive play. So they're the same type of guys. Jack Doyle is going to get those red zone opportunities. And if he gets two, like we saw last week, he's going to be better than a lot of tight ends. So Safarian Jenkins had one catch. But it was a 30-yard touchdown.
Clive Walford was, what, a third-round pick in the draft?
But it's
I don't know how that's relevant.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
I think he's a talented guy. I mean, he's not just some scrub that's going to fall in the end zone. He's a talented guy.
I totally agree with you, Adam, but they don't use him like
that. I understand that, but we don't know how they use him. This is his year to show us how they're going to use him.
I want to say, if we want to look at team history, Oakland used Michael Rivera a lot more than they should have.
And Rivera's kind of banged up.
And Rivera's not as good as Clive Walford.
No.
At least that we know.
Right. From what we believe. So that would be an argument in Walford's favor, but
I would love to see him use more. That's totally goes without saying. But in terms of I'm hoping for a touchdown, he's not necessarily the leader of the group.
I say he is.
Fine. I've put him in my proof.
I'm going to call my shot. Clive Walford scores.
And I hope it comes through for
him. There you go.
I guess I'm really talking more long term. I still think there's some upside. I totally get what you're saying this week about Walford. All right, so I'm going to try to speed this show up here. Mohamed Sanu or Michael Crabtree? Who do you like?
Crabtree.
Is Jacob Tammy a sleeper?
Yeah.
In the same regard as all these other tight ends.
Except he's going to get more, like, comparing him to Walford.
He's a better volume opportunity.
He's going to get more targets.
He also was targeted in the end zone last week.
He almost scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So sit the DSTs. Can we say that? Sit the DSTs?
I'm down.
Okay.
I might... The Raiders, what you told me about the Chargers DST made me interested in using them in daily heat.
Yes.
The Raiders are a daily DST for me, too.
Kansas City at Houston. So either the quarterbacks in this game, or are they more deep leagues?
They're deep league second quarterback types.
Yep.
There isn't one that you can look at and say, oh, yeah, I got to start him. They're ranked 17th and 18th for me, Smith on top of B.O.
How much do you like Spencer Ware this week?
Enough. I mean, you saw a real nice game from him last week. I don't think he'll be quite as good. I think the matchup's a lot tougher for him. I almost irrationally have him ranked in the top 10. It's because of volume, likelihood to score. I think people aren't going to sit him because Jamal Charles isn't coming back. But it's a tougher matchup for him. Then again, we just saw Jeremy Langford score on him on Houston.
Yeah, his touchdown was BS.
I've got him 14th, but that's pretty much starting him everywhere. So,
yeah. All right, Spencer Ware or DeMarco Murray?
I got Ware.
I've got Murray.
Ware.
Obviously, we're starting DeAndre Hopkins. How about Will Fuller? We've talked about Mohamed Sanu. We've talked about Michael Crabtree. Some other guys that could be on your roster? I'm trying to think here. Travis Benjamin. Where's Will Fuller with these guys?
High-end third receiver.
I've got him behind, I think, all the guys that you mentioned. If he gets 10 targets again, then I will never doubt Will Fuller again.
It is.
What would you say the floor is in terms of targets?
5. I mean, DeAndre got 5 last week. He can't have a lower or a higher floor than DeAndre.
He only had 5 targets last week?
Pretty sure he got Fuller got 11 and Hopkins got 5.
I don't know.
Am I wrong about that?
Maybe.
I thought he had 8.
I thought he had 8 too.
Maybe, I think Hopkins had 5 catches. And I know he dropped.
Okay, maybe I got those two numbers confused.
He catches on targets.
Jeremy Maclin, guys. Would you rather start Jeremy Maclin or Michael Crabtree this week?
I'm going to go Maclin. And I know what the script has been for Kansas City. They played Houston twice last year. Kelsey had big games against them both times. Maclin did nothing. One of those was the playoff game that was just a total dud for the Texans. And the other was one where they didn't really need to get Maclin involved because of what Kelsey was doing. I got a hunch that Houston's going to rock Kansas City. And the Chiefs are going to have to throw like they did last week. So
that's
Maclin
good for Alex Smith, though. I don't know why you wouldn't like Alex Smith, and if that's the case, because if Kelsey's doing well and Macklin's doing well, and they're going to throw a lot.
There are other quarterbacks I'd feel safer with than Alex Smith.
I've got Maclin 1 spot ahead of Crabtree, so they're very, very good.
Maclin's going to be what he is almost consistently, a borderline 2, borderline 3 wide receiver for most teams.
Cool. Start Travis Kelsey's top 6 tight end in both formats. The Dolphins go to New England. They have not been good in New England. Are there any Dolphins you feel good about starting this week?
None.
The only thing I thought about, this, and it just hit me this morning, I had Jarvis in the 30s somewhere at receiver, and I started thinking about how did Arizona move the ball against New England, and it was almost entirely with shorter passes to a slot receiver.
Yeah.
They did not, even when Larry Fitzgerald was done, even on that final drive when Arizona was just throwing the ball to Fitzgerald over and over, they didn't move Malcolm Butler in and put him on Fitzgerald. So
well,
I don't,
because they kept him on their best receiver.
I don't know if I would expect. Yeah, I'll just let that go until Michael Floyd does something again.
Like this week?
I don't know if they'll put him inside on Landry. And if they don't, then Landry's going to have a very good game in PPR.
But he hasn't done that against them. Oh, PPR. Yeah, you should start in PPR. But standard leagues, guy's got 7 touchdowns in 33 games. I mean,
right.
Or 7 games where he scored touchdowns. He is what he is.
And he's been bottled up by the Patriots. The Patriots know that he's the go-to guy for Tannehill. I am sure that Bill Belichick will make sure that he is properly covered.
The Patriots have no chance of winning this game.
The Patriots have no chance?
Yeah, no, I'm gonna say that every week.
Why?
It's my Dolphins punishment for saying it last week.
No, because he said that about the Patriots last week.
Gotcha.
And
yeah. Actually, the Dolphins should have beaten the Seahawks. They outplayed the Seahawks, and I wouldn't be surprised if they have a better effort than what we're used to seeing from them in Foxborough.
The Dolphins game against the Seahawks was like almost catching a touchdown.
Yeah, they should have won. They should have won. Chris Hogan, guys, you wouldn't start Hogan over Landry, would you?
No.
No.
Do you like Hogan?
He was an amazing wrestler in the 80s. I like him, but I don't feel comfortable starting him, even with the touchdown last week. I'll feel a little better once Brady's back.
Martellus Bennett, outside the top 12 in standard scoring leagues. Dave has him 10th in PPR leagues. And Edelman, is he a must start?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Assuming definitely a PPR. And probably as a flex even in a standard.
He didn't really have that good of a game last week.
No, he didn't.
66.
No, that's an Edelman game. If he scores, he's great. If he doesn't, that's what you're getting.
I think you're hoping for more than 66 yards from him, no?
I mean, it's basically...
You better get 9 catches if you want more than 66 yards.
Well, how is he a must start?
In PPR, he's a must start, but he's got
PPR, yeah.
He's got a great track record against Miami.
Watkins or Edelman?
Edelman.
Edelman for sure in PPR. Standard, it's really close.
Nam lead. That's Edelman backwards.
Baltimore or Cleveland? Last year, Cleveland won 33-30 at Baltimore. Baltimore won 33-27 at Cleveland, so we had 2 high-scoring games. We talked about Gary Barnage. Joe Flacco and the passing game, are these guys sleepers, and who would you target in the passing game if you were starting a Ravens wide receiver?
If I had to start a Ravens wide receiver, I would go with Mike Wallace.
Standard, for sure, I would. I was kind of surprised Steve Smith got the type of work he did in PPR. In PPR, I think I might target Smith.
Bye-bye, Kamari.
I thought Smith was not fast.
Well, I think that's a fact.
A 37-year-old guy coming off the 20
but I mean, okay, fine. I'm saying the obvious. Mike Wallace, though, lined up everywhere. played pretty much every down and had a lot of deep routes, not just the one where he scored. And this Cleveland defense is bad. And the Ravens run game is not a guarantee to be great just because they're playing the Browns. So Flacco is going to have to throw some passes in this one.
Terrence West scores touchdowns.
I think he could. Could be set up by a pass interference penalty in the end zone, though. I think Wallace is the safest bet of the three, but he's still no better than a number three fantasy receiver, if that. And Flacco is not a top 12 quarterback. Not for me.
Anybody in this game that you actually want to start?
Barnage.
Yeah, Barnage.
Barnage.
And I don't hate. I mean, I'm probably starting Crowell in a standard league.
How about Forsett?
He could be a flex.
Volume, right?
Yeah,
I agree with the flex sentiment.
The Ravens DST, Jamie and Dave, Damey have them top four, and Heath has the Ravens DST 14th.
I saw this in your notes. And just made a correction. I'm coming around to Team Damey. I'm going to put him top 10, but I'm not moving him quite that high. I don't know. I think McCown will probably play it pretty close to the vest, which might kind of hurt the opportunities for sacks and interceptions.
This is a better Ravens defense than what he went up against last year.
Much.
I agree.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't think the Browns are going to put up a top.
I have a hard time still putting them ahead of either one of the defenses tonight. The Panthers, the Texans, the Broncos, the Cardinals, the Seahawks.
Yeah. Okay. Philadelphia at Chicago. Real quick, guys. If you were desperate, which quarterback do you like better?
Wow. Cutler is desperate.
Cutler.
I feel like Cutler is the safer way to go. So I'm going to say Wentz.
There you go, Dave.
What do you think?
I like it.
It's a little more fun to go with Wentz, too. It's just fun.
Cutler's if you were desperate, which tight end do you like better? Or best?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Give me Wentz over.
Yeah, I've got Wentz two spots higher than Cutler as well. So we're all... I am going to say Celek.
Tom?
Yes.
Garrett?
we share a chest hair bond.
You do?
With Tom Selleck, yeah.
You know, we're co-workers with him. He's on the show Blue Bloods on CBS. I agree, Selleck.
Which running back do you like better?
I like Langford better.
Matthews for sure.
Matthews better, but it's close.
Okay. They're both top 20 guys for everybody. They're, Matthews is top 12 for Heath. Jordan Matthews is a number two wide receiver, so you can start him. And I think that's about it. Start Alshon Jeffrey. Anybody else?
Don't start Kevin White.
No, I dropped him way down.
Okay.
Jeffrey could have a big game. The Eagles' secondary is really banged up.
Let's read some emails. Rod, in a city in southwestern U.S.
Albuquerque. New
Dear
Mexico.
Joe, Doug, and Mark.
Three guys.
Googling.
Those are Redskins quarterbacks.
Oh.
Nice one.
Three
guys.
Yeah. Good call. On yesterday's podcast, you were high on Matt Stafford, and you used his stats for the second half of last year as the basis for your opinion. So how come you're not high on Kirk Cousins, who threw for 329 yards and completed 70% of his passes in a bad game in week one?
Well, you said it. It's a bad game.
But he's saying, if that's a bad game for Kirk Cousins, why are you high on Stafford but not on Cousins?
Because Cousins had the turnovers, one legitimate, one not so legitimate, Heath.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty legitimate.
No, get out of here.
I mean, it's
only because you beat me in the fantasy league.
It's still, it's in the NFL record books.
I think he went up against a defense that that challenged him. I'm really curious to see how he does against Dallas. He does not have a good track record against them, except for the Week 17 game last year, where he played like a half and had three touchdowns.
I think it's more of a season-long thing, though. Like, you like Stafford based on what he did at the last eight games.
I just have more confidence in Stafford, his receivers staying healthy, his offensive line staying healthy, and I think he's the better quarterback.
Would you say there's a better track record of Stafford being more consistent over the last nine games than what Cousins did really in the last five?
Yeah, I mean, Cousins only had three games with multiple touchdown passes. Maybe four.
I think it's a couple of things. We all believe that Matthew Stafford's simply a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And Stafford has the change in offensive coordinators to give us a reason for his uptick in production. And Kirk Cousins was throwing the ball all over the place in week one. I know he threw for 329 yards, but he was throwing it in the dirt. He was throwing it over heads. He just looked terrible.
He did. Yep. Okay, moving on. This is from Brandon. Where's Brandon from?
Canton, Ohio.
Huge decision. Rodgers or Stafford this week?
I'd go Stafford.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think I can.
Rodgers' track record against Mike Zimmer's defenses has been going in the wrong direction, especially since Zimmer came to Minnesota.
Five games with multiple touchdown passes for Kirk Cousins last year. Let's go to Nick from a small town outside of Providence, Rhode Island.
He lives in Cortez, Colorado.
Vikings DST at the Packers or against the Packers, or the Steelers DST at the Bengals?
Steelers.
I don't know if I have it ranked that way, but I think that's, yeah.
Okay.
I need to if I don't.
Next email. Jordan from the Land of Lakes. Decker, Travis Benjamin, or Sterling Shepard? Decker, Travis Benjamin, or Sterling Shepard?
Decker.
Decker.
I got to check to see where I have Shepard ranked. I really like the Giants this week. I've got Decker ahead of Shepard.
From Michael. Last one. Michael is from?
Redmond, Washington.
Moncrief or Michael Floyd as a flex?
Floyd.
Floyd.
Yeah, I mean, you've got two number two wide receivers on pretty good offenses, but one of them has a better matchup, so I'd go with Floyd, too.
All right, Heath and Damie, thank you very much. That's it for today's show.
So you would be what, Zadam?
Zadam, who am I like?
You and Zoe.
It's funny you say that. She's crying outside the door right now. She wants to come in and hang out.
She misses her better half.
Dave sent me a very funny IM that I just saw, by the way. Very clever, Dave. That's it for Dave, Jamie, Heath, and me.
No,
come on, man.
And now it's time for Adamazer to close the podcast.
I got to tell you
something, Adam.
I got to tell you something, Dave. Tonight's a big night. All right, tonight's a big night. You've got the first of four massive games in Fenway Park. And the season is on the line for the New York Yankees as they make their wild card / division push. But you know what? Who cares? It's football night, everybody. I'd rather watch the color rush and go colorblind from the Jets and the Bills and go, like, you know, insane watching
aren't
a horrible
you,
game most likely
colorblind?
Because football is amazing and I can't wait to sit down and watch it tonight on the couch. Oh my gosh, so excited to get fantasy week two started. Week one was great. Week one, 7-2 for me in week one. I'm excited. Let's keep that momentum going. It starts tonight. Jets and Bills. Can't wait to talk about it tomorrow. I'm Adam Azer. This is Fantasy Football Today.
Bye.